You're listening to Builderpedia, your go-to podcast for everything you need to know about property. By covering the entire journey from buying your home through to design, building, selling, and everything in between, we'll help you fill in the blanks and bring your property vision to life.
Welcome to an in-person recording of Builderpedia. Welcome, Mel.
Nice to be here, Melissa Neighbour. Yes.
Planning extraordinaire. First time we've kind of done an in-person Builderpedia with mics and sound and things. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But thanks for coming in.
Oh, it's great to be here. It's really good. I'm excited to kick off my 2026 with a Builderpedia chat. So
Builderpedia chat.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for inventing Builderpedia chat on the fly. So today we're talking about planning and we are looking at planning laws, LMR, which you're going to explain because you're the expert, and we're going to look at maybe broadly what that means, what LMR means, low, medium, okay, that's why you're going to explain. So, and then we'll look at a specific development that we've got on our radar in our neighborhood, and we'll go from there. So why don't you introduce us to LMR because I forgot what R stands for.
Low to mid-rise.
Low to mid-rise.
And yeah, okay, I like that overview. I think there's some good things to talk about there. And I think it's relevant to start having chats about developments that are now coming up and leveraging, or proposed developments are coming up and leveraging these new LMR policies, and what does that mean for our neighbourhoods across Sydney. So last year, or last couple of years really, the state government have been really focused on increasing density in our existing established areas where there's lots of jobs, schools and the like, and amenity, and, you know, really building homes where people want to live. And so that's what this LMR policy is designed to do. It's designed to, over select areas, I think there's about 171 identified town centres and sort of like train stations or transport nodes that have been identified to have this LMR uplift. And what that means is those sites within those identified areas can have a greater height control and a greater floor space ratio control.
And the purpose, I guess, more broadly for bringing that in is higher density affordability, I guess, bringing more people into urban areas where there's transport, right?
Yeah.
And allowing more people to live in those areas and greater density.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So yeah, I mean, most of our city is covered in R2 zoning, which is the lowest residential zoning. And until these LMR reforms came in, some places, some sites in R2, you couldn't even do a dual occupancy. So the highest density was a low density. It was a low, like a dwelling, a one or two story dwelling. And sometimes we even saw that around a lot of train stations. So that means this great transport, heavy rail, which is expensive, and it's a great people mover, was just servicing a handful of homes, you know, in different places across our city. So it was really, I guess there's a lot of underutilized transport across our city. And that's what this is designed to change, to turn this around so we can be a more transit orientated city.
Cool.
So public transit.
Give us a little bit of a tour of inner west LMRs.
Yeah. We can do that. Okay, cool. So let's have a look. So what address should I put in? Work address?
Well, let's look at, I guess, Moore Street Roselle.
Okay, we can write Moore Street Roselle. All right, we can cruise around.
I don't think there's anything in Roselle, but adjacent, I think there's stuff happening in Lilyfield.
I got it? Okay, so let's just I'm zooming out here.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, you're right. Nothing in Roselle
yet.
yet. Don't scare everyone. But you can see Drummoyne Town Centre. Now Drummoyne. This is where I live.
Yeah, right. So Drummoyne's going off.
Drummoyne is going off. And in fact, one of the examples I was thinking we could chat about today is just in Drummoyne. It's in my hood. So you got Drummoyne there. And then I think, what have we got? Gladesville. Yep.
And then you've also, but in and around Roselle, you've got around the parklands and is that what?
Down here in Lilyfield. You're thinking Lilyfield?
Yeah, Lilyfield. Okay.
So, yeah, it's all happening down there too.
Look, LMR is coming to Roselle. It just under wraps because it's still being negotiated, and it's a significant development with the Bays precinct.
Actually, now that you mention that, I just remembered something.
Yeah.
Because I got so excited about my LMR policy indicative map, which I really like using. This is actually showing it's changed because Inner West Council actually decided and said to the state, look, we appreciate you want a greater density. We don't want your blanketed controls on our LGA, our local government area. We want to do our own studies and find out where the density will be best placed to preserve things like heritage that we really love and value. So, in fact, none of this applies in Inner West. This is an indicative map. Yeah, so you'd actually have, for Inner West Council, you'd actually have to go to the Inner West Council, the Inner West Council website, and have a look at the controls that now apply.
Yeah, right. So we'll come back to, because this isn't relevant, I guess.
Yeah, well, look, so it's a temporary measure. So until that Inner West Council, it's called Our Fairer Future Plan, until that is gazetted or made legal, which is in the process of doing, being voted on, it's going to happen. It's just the legal, then this still sort of applies, but it's very redundant.
Yeah, right.
For Inner West Council. But if we just go across the Iron Cove Bridge.
Across
to Mel's Hood.
Yeah.
This is now in Canada Bay Council area, and indeed this does very much apply.
So we're looking at an orange area and then a blue area along Victoria Road. So what's the difference? Obviously, you'd think that Victoria Road could have more density. So what's happening there?
So this is a centre. So there is actually a lot of, there are actually already apartments all along there, which is good to see. So that's the centre kind of boundary. And then this is all housing. So this is where it's the residential zones that can take advantage of the uplift reforms.
Yep. So there's even higher density in that town centre, or is that different?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yep. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So if we want to go have a look at one, which is just being proposed just outside of Des Moines, well, just down here outside of the centre, we can do that. Did you want to go check one out?
Check it out. Let's check it out. So this is one of the kind of newer ones following on from the change in legislation or?
Exactly. Yeah. So since that legislation came in and the uplift was given to those orange areas, we're starting to see applications come into local councils taking advantage of those reforms. And this is one of them, which I'm very excited about because I think it's very beautiful.
Right, so take us on a tour.
Well, yeah. So this is by Plus Architecture and Prosper is the developer. And look how beautiful the area is. I mean, we're just so blessed to live here. And I think it's great that this will allow more people to move into the area. So where's something sort of, there we go, that gives us a bit of a location where we are. And then here, that's the site. So I live just a little bit further along here. And then, yeah, these people who live here, they're going to be able to walk into the town centre. That is walking distance. And there's a Harris Farm there. One of the best Harris Farms in Sydney. You probably would.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that Harris Farm. I know it might be on the Exy side, but it's Harris Farm.
It is on the Exy side. Apparently, according to my wife, it's an expensive Harris Farm because the Harris Farm is supposed to be the cheaper one and it's not cheaper one.
Yes.
Contradiction.
Well, it's giving you an experience of fine food.
But it's great. It's beautiful, like amazing food.
There's other options. There's an IGA. There's a Coles down here at Birkenhead. So this is a really idyllic place to increase density because you can live a walkable lifestyle.
Yeah, I love it. And beautiful spot. So what is the development? And I guess one thing to comment on is like, okay, in terms of DA submissions, this looks like a sales document, right? It looks like a pitch deck.
Yeah.
So there's a bit, is that part of the strategy to sell it to the council and sell it to the, is this a normal submission for a bigger project?
Look, because this is going to be one of the bigger developments that have happened in this area in a while, it's important to context set. And that really does set the context of, okay, well, who's going to live here and what's the lifestyle they're going to be able to live? And when a planner is looking at this, they're also thinking, okay, traffic impacts, right? Yep. And here you can actually see, well, somebody who lives there can genuinely live a walkable lifestyle because this bus stop here, because I get this bus route into the city to go to work, I get it a little bit earlier. For me, it takes 20 minutes peak hour. I reckon from here, it's probably going to take about 18, maybe 17 minutes.
Yeah. Cool.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. And as the tunnel opens and other things open up, it will be faster and it will be connected to the metro.
Mm.
Which will connect it to Parramatta. So it's actually potentially 20 minutes from Parramatta.
Yes. So this is like the future of our city, right? Well-connected, great homes and connected lifestyles. So this kind of, I like this one because it shows us the controls and how they've been met. So this is the building envelope. And we can see here that, so the built form responds to the LMR provisions of the housing SEP. So that's a state environmental planning policy, which now overrides the local council controls for height and FSR.
And so the LMR has some setbacks there as well. And so it's got height, but it's also, are those setbacks LMR related?
The setbacks are not in LMR, in the housing SEP, I don't believe. So we've just got those higher level controls.
Yep. Okay.
And then we do need to also make sure that the proposal complies with the local council controls as well. So they merge together. Sometimes it's a little prickly, but that's the job of the developer, the planner, the architect to bring that together in a harmonious way. And what's so great about this development, which I'm thrilled about, is the developer has chosen to also take advantage of the 15% affordable housing bonus. So because they include 15% affordable housing in here, they then get a bonus of 30% of FSR and height. I love it when I see planning controls that are not mandatory but incentive-based.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then the developer, the market, who market delivers 95% of the housing in this country, can make the decision about whether or not it'll stack up if they want to do affordable housing rather than saying you have to include it, which can then mean this may not have been feasible.
So we kind of, like, I know about affordable housing provisions, but I may be putting you on the spot a little bit, but can you explain it in a nutshell? What does that mean for, like, the product that will be there for the development? Like, what does that mean in practice?
Yeah, well, that's why it's really great when we do have new developments that are, this will probably be quite high end and quite luxury. And it's also a really, you know, it's an expensive place to live by making the housing affordable, which means that it's below market rate.
Right, right.
So that people on lower incomes are able to afford to live there.
But in practice, what does that mean? They have to sell it for less or they'd have to rent it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So a community housing provider, so they would be working with them to make all of that work.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it's great. So they have done that. And that's why you can see here they've got this 30% uplift. So you can see the difference in terms of the extra allowable density. Okay, we'd have a look at the renders. I personally think it looks really good. Let's go check it out. So hang on, there's quite a bit in here. I've got to find the right one that gives us a good idea. Where are they? Here we go. Yeah, I think it looks really good.
The renders are beautiful. That's really well done. They put some money into this presentation and it looks spectacular.
I think so.
And as a builder, you're always a little bit skeptical of, okay, because I remember distinctly once driving past a development near the airport and I saw the billboard of the development with the beautiful render, and then next to the billboard were the finished apartments. And as a builder, I'm like, they're not the same windows.
Oh, wow.
No, they definitely had the premium commercial aluminium windows in their poster, but you look next to the poster and the window that were there were obviously very different.
Here's what we're going to do. I've got an idea. We're going to catch up every now and then, and I want to follow this.
Yeah.
Do you want to follow this?
Yeah, yeah, we'll follow it.
All the way through the assessment. So right now it's with council being assessed.
Yep.
And then if they get it approved, then, you know, we can follow it through to construction. We should go and do a site visit and everything.
We'll put the two side by side.
will run the test.
But I think, like, probably low risk of that happening because it's a premium development, right? It would have substantial and spectacular city views, hence the incentive to go higher.
Yeah.
It was funny because in that envelope, well, they added the affordable housing at the top. It's probably not going to be at the top, but I think that's the incentive, right, for a developer is to add height because the more spectacular views, right?
True, so true.
So that's a huge plus. And I think that works well as a mechanism to incentivize, obviously, yeah, and being cynical and probably realistic, low-cost housing will be at the bottom of the development, but it incentivizes height. So it's that works.
It works. It means developments can stack up. It means they're feasible. Yeah. So no, look, I'm betting on this being absolutely premium right to the end. It's a reputable developer.
Yep.
But I think this will be just a bit of fun anyway, just to follow this through. One of the first LMR proposals in Sydney, let alone in my local area. So we can keep an eye on it. Actually, something funny that I did want to, or not funny, but something else I thought we could look at. So I'm very big on engaging with the community and also just hearing what the community have to say. And so I sign up to a thing called Planning Alerts. Now, if you haven't heard of that before, it's just a free service and you go in and you put in your address or any address where you want to be notified whenever a development application is lodged nearby. So I do that for my own home because I like to know what's going on in my hood. And that's how I found out about this, actually. So we can go in there, and what's kind of cool, Matt, is people can make comments, public comments on there. So it's not an official submission.
Yep. It does get sent to the council, right?
Yeah. But yeah, you're right.
But it just gets emailed to council, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it says here, delivered to the email server of City Canada Bay.
Yeah.
So, but I think you're right. I don't think it counts as a formal submission, which you actually need to go and do via the council website.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, it's still interesting. I like understanding the community sentiment around different things happening in my area. And that's why I like to read these comments. And look, Lynette has a point, because actually there will be 18 trees that have got to come down for this big guy.
Yep.
I think there was 5 or 6 lots that have been amalgamated. So we've got a nice big LMR residential flat building going on there. 18 trees have got to go. Now, and Phil's kind of agreed with this. He's worried about the homeless birds.
Yep.
Right? So if those trees are cut down, there's going to be some dislocation.
Some homeless turkeys.
So there's going to be some homeless bush turkeys and kookaburras, but only temporarily. I'll tell you why. And I decided to make a comment on here because I just wanted to, I guess I've got privileged knowledge and information, which I'm really grateful for being in my line of work. I know all of the controls and policies that are applicable, and what probably isn't evident immediately is that this proposal had to also meet tree canopy guidelines.
Yes.
So they're putting in a whole lot of new trees and more trees. And in fact, to the point of there'll be a 30% tree canopy coverage out of the whole site area, which is a lot. Actually, should we go have a look at it? Let's have a look at the...
Have a look.
I don't know if I've got the landscape plan in here. I can try and bring it up. Did I bring it? I don't know if I brought it up, but that's
okay. I
think
there's enough of it there.
Yeah. You can see there's a lot of trees going on, and they've got a really great communal space area as well. I think there's a little bit there. There is a full landscape plan though, so you can go and get that. This is all publicly available information, of course. And yeah, so we're going to have a lot of tree cover, and there's a pool for the kids. One thing about growing up in an apartment is, because I did, in Vermoyne, down the road, is that it's an instant play date as soon as you come home.
Yep.
Other kids in the building. So it's kind of cool. I love growing up in Drummond, so I'm happy more people will get that opportunity. But look, what else, Matt? What are you thinking?
What am I thinking? I'm wondering, so this is new. This is a legislation enforced on a council. There's obviously, if you have a look at the plan, there's obviously people who are, I guess the shadowing looks good.
We did have a look at it earlier.
We did have a look at it.
Were very worried. You were just like...
I was like, oh my God, there's a building to the south. But actually, it surprised me at how minimal, and according to you, Mel, it's compliant. So it complies with overshadowing, because overshadowing is not just, oh my God, there's a big building, cast a shadow. It's where cast a shadow, what time of day.
Mm.
Shit gets technical really quickly with overshadowing. Yeah. But according to Mel, it complies with shadowing in a technical sense. We're planning laws around shadowing, overshadowing. But you're still kind of looking at it going, there's a 1 or 2 story building to the south. Okay, it's overshadowed in the morning.
Mm.
But it's got this big development happening next to it. So that person's probably not very impressed. And people who have lived on this street for a while and are used to single 2-story houses, some heritage, kind of, well, not maybe not heritage listed or heritage conservation areas, but certainly some old houses and a particular streetscape. And suddenly there's an 8-story building.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like people aren't going to be happy about it. And no matter how you feel, you kind of go, yeah, some people aren't going to like it. So there's going to be some pushback. And we don't know what that has been.
No, except for the trees.
Officially.
No, officially,
in terms of objections. What are council going to do with that? What options do council have? And in the Land Environment Court, is this a slam dunk?
Mm.
Well, we're speculating. We can speculate.
Well, we can. We can do that from our comfy chairs here at the Builderpedia.
Because what I know about Land Environment Court is opinions fade away and strictly planning law gets applied, and the planning law that's relevant is the state planning law. So I kind of feel like, what's council going to do? Are they going to put up a bit of a token fight to say, we don't want it? Yeah, it's curious because we know Inner West Council is very much pro-densification.
They are now, that our Fairer Future Plan.
Fairer Future, they're pushed through Fairer Future Plan. Like everyone else there are a Labor-controlled council. So the Greens obviously pushed against it. But I think, they're pro-development, which is very different from the Leichhardt Council of yesteryear and the Inner West more broadly and their reputation. So,
so true.
So what's going to happen in Des Moines is interesting, right?
Very interesting. And also in across Sydney in general, because as we saw, I said, I think 171 LMR spots right across Sydney. So it's going to be interesting to see how each different council reacts. But look, I think Sydney as a whole, we're moving towards being a denser city. We are one of the lowest density cities in the world. And so I think we've got to grow up. We've got to mature.
Yeah.
We've got to be progressive. And this is kind of the start of that. So, look, you raised so many good questions that have just kind of got my mind running now around, how is this going to fold? So I think this is unfold. So I think this is going to be fun. We can maybe next time we catch up, let's go in on the council portal and see if there's been any official submissions, any requests for information. So the council can do that as part of the assessment process. They'll pop out a letter and say, look, we just need more information around this. We don't like this. We want this changed. So that's going to kind of be unfolding. So I think we can do that next time. What do you think?
Interesting to see what happens. Yeah, it'd be really interesting because council are in a bind. There's obviously those laws are there to improve density, let more people in. But obviously people that are used to living, people don't like change. People don't like their circumstances to change, and they're used to walking down this street and not having an 8-story building.
You just reminded me. I received a letter in my letterbox about this. There was a local group that got together and they don't like this.
Yeah.
Here's what they said.
Oh, no, I got it last.
Oh.
You're making me read it. The residents of Des Moines, please lodge before 12th of January 2026. You could still lodge.
Mm.
Yeah. We recently distributed flyers. This is about this development.
Yeah.
George Crescent is currently being targeted with several more developments in the pipeline, but this can happen anywhere in the highlighted areas of Des Moines. Okay. So, they let this one in because it can happen anywhere in Des Moines, the highlighted area, which is seems like all of Des Moines, really, right? So that's substantial. But I don't know what to make of it.
That's what you're saying, right? Because they're concerned. You're saying, what are they called?
You're saying the dominoes will fall and Des Moines will change substantially.
The Des Moines Responsible Development Action Group.
Des Moines Responsible Development Action Group. Yeah, I think inevitably it will change and people won't like it. And that's part of it. But I think my experience of going to – so I spoke at the Fairer Futures.
Yeah.
I sat on the wrong side, but I made friends with some NIMBYs. They were lovely, but I was like, I'm sorry, I sat on the wrong side. So I spoke four. But I just remember most of the objections were like what they were going to lose potentially. And a lot of the objections funnily enough, were from people who were on the periphery of a rezone, periphery of a proposed rezone, but weren't part of the rezone. So they were upset about not being included. So a lot of the opposition was, well, it was kind of like, well, we're angry and we don't like, this is bad for our, and it's not fair that we can't rezone. So that was a lot of that happening. So I feel like it's, but it's a substantial change for that street. So you can understand people not liking it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because as I said, we're at the start of this change. So at the moment, everything seems scary and big, but this is going to be more commonplace.
But oh my God, what a place to live. And totally. What a beautiful submission. Like there's, and I, one thing that I want to add is I'm always telling my clients, we need to put time and effort into the submission. A quality submission gets a better outcome, and that they put a lot of effort. I mean, it feels like they've almost gone to a marketing agency or some to put it because it's immaculate put together so well, or they've got an amazing template. But yeah, it's very well done and it's very put it together very nicely. So.
Well, I also agree with you, and I love it. And as a local resident who lives just down the road, I will be putting in my submission before the 12th of January. To say how much I love this and how important this is to making Sydney be the most inclusive, progressive city it can be.
Yeah, and the likely outcome is it will go to a planning panel because there'll be definitely more than 10 objections. Like, almost sense that there'll be a lot more than 10. So it'll go to a planning panel, and then it may, if it doesn't go through or it needs to be expedited, it might be in Land Environment Court application, right?
And we're going to follow the whole journey.
We're going to follow the journey. That's my prediction.
That's your prediction?
That's my prediction. I think they're going to go to LEC.
Okay.
I think they've already got a submission.
Well, I'm going to be idealistic and hope that they've got loads of pro submissions.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
It'll probably just be my one.
I think on day 42 or whatever it is, they're going to be submitting because this has the potential to be dragged out, and there's a lot of sunk cost
holding costs. I do just want to say there was one positive comment on the planning alerts one. It's by Hugh Winters, and he's a millennial renter in Drummoyne, like me. And he said, any opportunity to own property here, especially for anyone my age or younger, is a fantastic opportunity. The community should do everything it can to support young people. Hear, Hugh.
All right.
Let's end on a positive note. Should we wrap this up?
I think we'll wrap it up. Thanks so much, Mel. Thanks for coming in, and let's keep tracking this and other developments in the Drummoyne, Balmain area.
If people have one they want us to track, they could send it in.
Send it in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Cool. Send it into the Buildopedia team, and we'll start looking into it, and you can hear our speculations on it.
Speculations and predictions, and we'll have more info in the notes.
Awesome. Okay.
Take care. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to Buildopedia. Please remember to like us and share our episode with your friends. We'd love your comments and suggestions. And we have a new website, buildopedia.au, where you can get in touch or leave a question and check out our blog.